You're now listening to Her Story, Women Who Lead, with your host, Sandra Bieber. This is a dynamic and inspiring podcast that really dives into the rich tapestry of women's history, explores critical topics in women's health, and celebrates the profound impact women have on our communities. Stay with us. Please listen to Her Story, celebrating women who lead on air, online, and archived on the WDIY app. This program is generously supported by Lehigh Valley Health Network, part of Jefferson Health. Welcome to Her Story. I'm here with Dr. Amanda Flicker, really an incredible person. And first of all, thank you to LVHN for this entire podcast. We're so grateful. LVHN, a part of Jefferson Health, and you've been seeing this merger and this these amazing things happening. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You are the Chief Executive Medical Officer at LVHN, and I want to just, you know, dive into what makes you you and what makes you unique, and I'm looking forward to learning more.
Great. Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. And I'm happy to be here representing the Women's Health for Lehigh Valley Health Network, proudly part of Jefferson Health,
yes,
as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually grew up in Berks County, Pennsylvania. So I'm local to the greater Lehigh Valley area.
Love it.
And did all of my education and training in Pennsylvania as well. Mm-hmm. Did my OBGYN residency at Pennsylvania Hospital, which has its claim as the oldest hospital in the country. So it was a fun place to live and learn for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I came to Lehigh Valley Health Network in 2006, mm-hmm. So closing in on 20 years of service.
That's hard
to
the
community.
See. Yeah, hard to say 20 years. Come
20
on.
20 years,
yeah,
is a long time, but it's, yeah, been quite a journey.
Absolutely.
I'm sure those of you who've been in the community have seen the many changes from Lehigh Valley Hospital and through to the Health Network. Mm-hmm. So for me personally, I'm a general obstetrician and gynecologist by training. In the last 10 years or so, I practice only inpatient obstetrics, so just the delivering babies part.
That's fun.
In the hospital.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
People ask me a lot how many babies I've delivered, and I think it's countless at this point. But, you know, every birth is beautiful and special, and so I'm honored to be a part of that.
That's wonderful.
But over time, I've immersed myself in healthcare leadership as well.
Yeah.
So things revolving obstetric quality and safety.
Wonderful.
As well as education of the next generation of OBGYN physicians.
So a lot of mentorship is going into
a
your work.
A lot of mentorship.
So
giving and getting.
Giving and getting. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of a theme that we've been going off of. And tell me a little bit about what your work is and really what inspired you to get into this executive leadership position.
Right. So obviously, most people go into medicine to deliver healthcare directly, mm-hmm, to our patients. But healthcare leadership, especially in the position I'm in now, allows me to be a part of creating programs.
Very good.
So specific clinical programs. Also, as you mentioned, mentoring, sponsoring, and developing our future leaders as well in future clinical care delivery.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it allows you to take what you can do for one patient and do it for so many more.
That's awesome.
So I think that's really kind of been a part of my trajectory.
So it's a big picture, right? And you're, mm-hmm, looking at, when you talk about sponsoring, let's say a up-and-coming OBGYN, mm-hmm, what does that look like?
So for me, I can tell you I've been the benefactor of other people's mentorship and sponsorship. Mm-hmm. It was somebody who themselves may have been presented with an opportunity, mm-hmm, and they invited me to participate in it or take the lead on it because they knew it was an area in which I had interest.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I helped write a book chapter because one of my more senior colleagues got invited to do that, and he brought me on board.
Incredible.
So I think that's what sponsorship often looks like.
That's wonderful. And, when I think of LVHN, I myself have very fond memories of LVHN and all of the care that they've given. When I was delivering my babies, right,
mm-hmm,
my first one was natural, right, and that was a lot of, you know, midwives coaching and supporting and doctors in the room. My sister-in-law is also a doctor as,
mm-hmm,
well, so it's really just something that I really hold near and dear to my heart because when we look at it, when we're healthy, we're happy, right? But when we're not healthy, we need care. Right. And I think the thing that LVHN, a part of Jefferson Health, mm-hmm. does really well is that it supports and it cares about its patients. Tell me a little bit more about things that are upcoming, things that you're, some projects, some programs that you're building that you want to delve in and kind of share with the community.
Right. I appreciate the opportunity. So one, when we think about obstetrics and gynecology, obviously there's obstetrics, mm-hmm. which is pregnancy and childbirth, and then gynecology, which is really the non-reproductive healthcare concerns that women may have. Mm-hmm. And so in the obstetric space, really offering women an opportunity to choose the way they experience their healthcare, because mm-hmm. no two pregnancies are the same, right? You might say the same for yourself. I can say that of mine.
Yeah.
And people are different. So we now, within LVHN, offer various platforms for women to experience their prenatal care.
That's great.
So there's a traditional model where you see a couple different providers and you have one-on-one visits. Mm-hmm. But we also offer a midwifery practice
Wonderful.
In Allentown. We will soon be offering that in Bethlehem as well. We have Centering Pregnancy, mm-hmm. which is a group prenatal care platform. Mm-hmm. That's very education focused and mm-hmm. also peer support while you go through that journey with other women who are in the same stage of pregnancy as you.
It's fantastic.
And then even some virtual care where you might be able to do some of your care from home with
I love
virtual
that.
Intake. Yeah, it's a great option for a lot of
wow.
women.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, you know, a lot of times you want to be able to go and meet. There's several different scheduled visits that you
right.
have to have, and being able to be flexible in that you need to be, you know, in virtual is wonderful.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So imagine you take home a blood pressure cuff, a scale, and something to listen to the baby's heartbeat, and you just video in with a nurse or a physician, and you can do that care. And it also, I think, is very self-affirming for patients to be participants in their own healthcare.
Okay, that's new. That is something that's neat. I don't think I've ever heard that before.
It's a pretty new program for us.
Yeah.
We're looking to expand it for more women.
That's fantastic. And I think just exactly like you said, you're taking it into your own hands. Like, you are in partnership with your physician, and you're also taking part in. I really appreciate that. There's a lot of disparities in health, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how are we as a community doing from a health perspective? I know I keep fingers on the pulse, if you will, on certain things that are happening. How is LVHN meeting that need?
So it's really important, I think, first to have good data to be able to evaluate whether some of the trends that we see in maternal health, but women's health and other aspects of medicine in terms of disparities in outcomes exist in your own community.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to get really good data. And so electronic medical records now are able to help us get that information. And then being able to view that information through a lens of various racial and ethnic groups, other socioeconomic factors as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, offering various services that reduce people's barriers to healthcare, whether it be transportation, whether it be language assistance.
For sure.
And in our new health center, which I know we're going to talk a little bit more about, we're offering a child watch program where you can schedule to have your child, you know, safely observed in our health center while you're getting the care and services that you need.
That's really helpful, because sometimes I feel like that could be a barrier for people to get their yearly checkups, because
Correct.
They do not have childcare, and they don't have access, or perhaps they don't have the scheduling, and they just have to manage and juggle all of these different things. So that's a really, really awesome resource.
We recently did a community survey in the greater Lehigh Valley area and found that the respondents who were our, you know, female population were more likely to take their children for care than to get their own care. And so we're hoping to help women find a way to make it easier to get what they need to.
You hit the nail on the head. That is exactly right. I feel like women in general, now this is just me speaking in general, everybody's different, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that you want to care more for others around you, and you want to say, so long as they're good, I'm good. But then there's a statement or a quote, if you will, that says, if you don't take care of your body will tell you, and it's going to shut down for you.
Right.
So you have to take care of yourself first, so then you're able to take care of others. There's a reason why there's an oxygen mask on an airplane.
Right.
Not for you to put it on other people, but for you to put it on yourself so then you're able to take care of others.
Right. It's a great analogy.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about this building, this new building that's coming up with summer of 2025.
Correct. Coming this summer. Yeah. So it's the Women's Health Center at Tower Place.
Okay.
It's on the former location of Martin Tower.
Wow.
That was part of the Mack Trucking Company's facility. Mm-hmm. And it's one building for women's health. The other building has medical specialties and a large internal medicine practice and an urgent care. But the women's health facility is really the first of its kind in our area. There's similar models throughout the country, but really a place that's focused on the healthcare needs for women.
Wonderful.
It's a three-story building. The first floor will have breast imaging, a women's heart and vascular program, so cardiac care specifically for women.
Wonderful.
And then some physical therapy services, including pelvic floor physical therapy. Awesome. Our second floor is all about obstetrics, so we'll have our midwifery program, centering pregnancy, obstetrics, and then our large maternal fetal medicine practice, which are really the experts in high-risk pregnancy for both moms and babies.
Fantastic.
And that floor is where the child watch services will be. And then the third floor is really women's health. So we talked about like the OB part of what we do, but there's a whole spectrum of care for women's health that includes our preventive services. So what do we need to do every year? We need to see our gynecologist and our primary care doctor and get our teeth cleaned and do eye exams and dental care. So focusing on some of those preventive care services, we have women's health specialty programs. So things like menopause care, sexual health program, chronic pelvic pain, and several others as well. And then we'll also be offering our urogynecology.
Okay.
So think about pelvic floor disorders, urinary incontinence. And we'll also be partnering with Advanced Dermatology Associates for some dermatologic care as
well.
That's
incredible. So you're talking about the whole woman,
yes,
right? You are
talking
from top to bottom, essentially, and being able, and what a wonderful piece to our community, right? What a wonderful addition to be able to bring that to life and have a healthy community. And when you teach a woman one thing, this whole tribe and the village thrives. And I think that's one of those things where when you're teaching, you're taking care of women, your entire community will thrive. The world will thrive.
Right.
And one thing that I wanted to just kind of, you mentioned pelvic floor a couple times. I don't think enough people are talking about that.
Right.
Yes. And what can we do to better educate individuals that just had babies or perhaps, you know, are maybe experiencing some issues?
Right. That's a great point. So there's sometimes some shame or stigma associated with some of the conditions of the pelvic floor. And first of all, is being willing to ask or talk about it with your provider.
Ask the questions.
So we as healthcare providers need to ask the questions, and patients shouldn't be afraid to talk to us about it.
Indeed.
But you brought up a couple different time frames, right? So right after we give birth, right? There's sometimes can be some trauma to the pelvic floor as we deliver the baby.
As the baby's exiting.
Correct. And so, you know, physical therapy can really be helpful in that time frame. And we've been working really closely with the physical therapy team through LVHN for some specialty care for those time frames. And then even as we get older, right, we stand upright and gravity is working against us a little bit. And so, you know, people can develop problems with prolapse, where they may feel a bulge down there. You can often hear people say that, or have experience issues with urinary incontinence.
Yeah.
And so starting by just talking to your primary care clinician, talking to your OBGYN physician, and then if needed, there can be referrals to specialists, which are called urogynecologists.
That's awesome. I mean, tell me, I know that there are programs like the street medicine program that I know very, and it's near and dear to a lot of people's hearts, especially in the community, that you're going out and you are serving people where they are.
Right.
How does that fit with women's health?
Right. So we don't have dedicated women's healthcare clinicians who are part of the street medicine program, but we work very closely with that team to, when they identify patients who have women's healthcare needs, whether it's through pregnancy, whether it's the need for screening services, right, pap smears and cervical cytology and those things, they will contact us so that we can make the connection and help the patients get to the best place for them to be able to access that care.
That's awesome. You know, your trajectory in your career, you've been answering these questions like a pro. My goodness.
It's my passion. Yes. It's what I do.
And mm-hmm. that, you know what? That dives us in really into what we, this is your passion. This is what day did you wake up and you said, this is it. Mm-hmm. This is what I want to do right. for as long as I want to do it.
So for most of my life, I thought I was going to be a pediatrician.
Okay.
And then I went to medical school, really probably with that mindset, but open to anything in healthcare because mm-hmm. I was really just fascinated with the way the body works mm-hmm. and the way it sometimes doesn't work and yeah. how we can help to make it better. Mm-hmm. But during my third year clinical rotations where medical students will work in different parts of, you know, in different disciplines and specialties, mm-hmm. I remember I did my OBGYN rotation actually here at Lehigh Valley. I was a student at Penn State.
Love it.
And I rotated here as a student and I had a fantastic time and there was a continuity and adrenaline and excitement and surgery and all the things. Mm-hmm. And then I did pediatrics, which I very much enjoyed, mm-hmm. but it just didn't have that same
yes.
vibe for yeah. me. And I actually had a conversation with my mom and said, I think I'm going to go into obstetrics and gynecology.
Yeah, yeah.
And really everything after that, I think, just continued to affirm that that was the right place for
That's
me.
That's wonderful. Typically, it's usually us reaching out to our moms and telling us, hey, yes. you know, I don't know. Is this the right move?
Correct.
And I'm very appreciative of moms. And,
yes.
And the women
Hope
in
my kids
life.
Are listening to that.
Yeah, same. right. Same. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, women and what do you see as some of the most beautiful things that come out from the relationships that you have built, whether you've sponsored women, young women, or you've mentored or guided, tell us a little bit about some of the most beautiful things that you can pick up from there.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess from the vantage point that I'm in, it mm-hmm. comes in the forms of patient interactions.
Very good.
It comes in the form of team-based care. Yeah. So think about right now I just have one clinical day per week, which is delivering babies. And
well, that's
so
fun on Thursday, right?
It's, Thursdays are my delivering babies day, yes. But, you know, our care teams there include residents and nurses and physicians and technical partners mm-hmm. and other staff. We interface with pediatricians and anesthesia colleagues, but really pulling that team together. Mm-hmm. And then for a lot of our clinicians who are increasingly female going into women's health specialties, mm-hmm. seeing them develop their gravitas and confidence is really exciting.
I love that word, gravitas. It's a wonderful word because it really sometimes that's what we need. We mm-hmm. need that push. We need that oomph. Although that we have a lot of the knowledge and right. we are skilled and we're passionate about what we do. What is it about sometimes when you see a male individual or a female, not saying that there's any differences, but sometimes mm-hmm. there are subtle, right? Where there's more cautionary. Have you seen that in the workforce in your space?
Right. I think, you know, for me, as I moved through my nearly 20 years in healthcare now, I think a couple things. One is the willingness to say yes.
Yeah.
Even when you experience a little imposter syndrome, mm-hmm. should I be here? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Do I have all the things? But having that confidence in yourself that what you don't know, you're going to learn.
Yes.
But also the willingness to say no to things that aren't right for you at the time or you're in it and you need to break away. I've had to have that experience as well. Mm-hmm. And I think one of my favorite analogies actually comes from Sheryl Sandberg's book, yeah. Lean In.
Yes.
A lot of people have read that. Yeah. Great book. And so she talks about riding the elevator up. So for people who are looking for promotion and advancement, but for women sometimes hold themselves back. Mm. And really being willing to get on the elevator, ride it up, and if you have to get off on the fifth floor because life derails you, you're taking care of an aging parent,
yes.
you have a change in your personal life, mm-hmm. it's okay. It's okay to take a pause on the fifth floor and then decide if you want to get back on again.
Love that.
So I love that analogy.
That's really good. And it's allowing yourself and giving yourself the permission to do it. You don't
right.
need to ask permission from anybody else to say,
right.
I need a break.
Right.
I need to get off here on the fifth floor. Mm-hmm. I need to get off on the 10th floor if I want to.
Right.
So I think that's something that a lot of young women now are starting to get rewired, which I love this next generation that's coming up. Mm-hmm. When I taught at Muhlenberg College, I saw that and I saw this, but I also saw the same cautionary mm-hmm. versus some of the male students that I said, go out and get it.
Do it.
Don't be afraid. And if you don't get picked, stay positive. Mm-hmm. You have to stay positive on the inside to be able to say, I'm going to come back on this other side, the flip side,
right.
stronger.
Right.
Because I feel like
good things come around those that stay the course,
right,
and stay gritty and stay moving forward. So mm-hmm. I love that. You're very passionate about this. You're passionate about this work. What do you see the future of this work? What do you see the future of healthcare, especially as technology is coming in?
Well, technology is a separate interesting piece. Yeah. I think that healthcare is continuing to advance. I mean, we thought, you know, electronic medical records and placing medical orders through a computer system. Mm-hmm. But now, really, it's actually delivering healthcare through technological means.
Yeah.
So one thing that the pandemic did was accelerate the use of telemedicine. We talked about the virtual
yes.
obstetrical care
it's
platform.
It's hard to believe. It's hard
right?
to believe.
And so there's a lot of industry and what they call femtech now, where
what is
people,
that?
Right. So it's technology geared towards female healthcare. So it can be things like menstrual tracking if you're trying to get pregnant or not get pregnant. It can be during pregnancy. There's a lot of, you know, logging of your symptoms.
Of course,
and
yeah.
education that
the
you
app
can use.
On LVHN.
The app, mm-hmm. right, exactly, LVHN, and there's others that are sponsored by other industries.
Yeah.
And then there's even programs now where if you have, like, menopausal symptoms or concerns that you can access through your smartphone.
Wow. And right? educate yourself through that.
So, and educate yourself through
and
that.
Your doctor is able to communicate with you on this smartphone, or excuse me, on this app.
Correct. Yeah. So a platform like MyLVHN
yes.
allows patients to control their healthcare more than they ever could before, right?
Absolutely.
You can see your test results. You mm-hmm. can communicate with your clinician. Yep. You get alerts for things that you're due for.
Yeah.
One thing that we're really excited about now, talking about making access available for women,
yeah.
is trying to link services together. So think about in a given year, you might need to get to your gynecologist for your cervical cancer screening.
Mm-hmm.
You might need a mammogram.
Mm-hmm.
You might need to get your dermatologic skin screen, see your primary care. That's a lot of appointments.
A lot.
So
And scheduling. And having to drive and
parking.
All that. Yes, parking.
But what if we could start bundling those things together?
Smart.
So in some of our areas, we're now able to, through our electronic system, identify patients who have an appointment
mm-hmm.
to see their gynecologist who are due for a mammogram
yeah.
and offer them the same service in the same building.
Wow.
So it's really exciting.
That is really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to oversee all of these programs. So
mm-hmm.
it's really hyper-focused and hyper-sensitive of the needs of women and
right.
people that want to participate in that. And it's really a value add to
mm-hmm.
the community. And we're really grateful that we have such great health partners all throughout this Lehigh Valley. I think
right.
that's one thing that we're very, very fortunate in our region to be able to have. And
absolutely.
I think the one thing I wanted to mention to you was with that, how do you see, again, with just the technology happening, how do you see young people or individuals getting, are they going to be getting into the medical field more because of these experiences?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope that somebody might be inspired by a reel or a, you know, a,
or this podcast.
Something, or this
yeah.
podcast, for sure. But I do hope that inspires people. I think it is important to mention that there is misinformation and disinformation
yes.
that's available through electronic forms. And so it is important to make sure that the resource that you're using is evidence-based. And when in doubt, your trusted clinician is probably the best place for you to go.
I couldn't agree more with that, because the amount of, you know, news that's circulating out there, it's important to build trust,
right?
And build trust with your clinician.
Correct.
And if you have, and I think some folks have bad experiences,
correct.
Try another clinician.
Correct.
That's why you always have to go for a second opinion.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Just like picking your friends,
yeah.
your healthcare provider, you know, what's best for one person might be a very direct approach, in and out quickly. Somebody else wants to spend a little more time talking.
Yes.
And, really being understood and heard. And so there's a provider for everybody.
There is.
You just have to find the right one.
And, you know, from my experience and what I saw, really from a full gamut care, whether they were taking care of patients with breast cancer, or they're taking care of, you know, someone that is just prenatal and are just really trying to have a baby, or they're in the process of having a baby, or they're really dealing with, you know, those symptoms that people don't talk about,
right?
And I think that's the most important, is to be able to get the women, people educated about their symptoms, about their what they're struggling with. They are not alone. And right. I feel like that's so important because people feel like they're alone. Their isolation with technology and things that are happening.
Right.
You can always reach out. There is someone that's going to help you. And if you can't find that one person, keep trying. There will be. So thank you so much for this. And so I want to kind of shift it a little bit.
Sure.
What qualities do you think a great clinician or a great medical leader mm-hmm. possesses?
So starting with a clinician, I think, is really the passion and drive for what you do, mm-hmm. right? You know, talking to you about your work, you're committed to providing education mm-hmm. and awareness to the community through yeah. through your media platform. Yeah. For us, it's, you know, passion for healthcare delivery, making sure people understand their body, when things are going well, that they're getting preventive services, when things are going wrong, that we're there to help them through it. Mm-hmm. So I think one piece is certainly understanding the education and having the technical skill, but then the other piece are soft skills.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Compassion, empathy, communication, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. really a patient-centered approach. At the end of the day, healthcare is service.
Absolutely.
Right? And I think sometimes we think about service more as, you know, the food industry or something like that, or getting your hair done.
Yeah.
But healthcare is service too. And so making sure that we put our patients first.
I love that. And again, switching it again, what do you love about living in the Lehigh Valley? What are the characteristics about this beautiful mm-hmm. region that you love so much?
Well, I must love it because yeah. I've been here for a long time.
Yes, you've been here for a long time. Yeah, I love it.
But for sure, I love change of seasons.
Yes.
So I like putting on my boots and sweaters in the winter. Mm-hmm. I love snow. I like the warmth of the summertime and the fall and spring seasons in between. Mm-hmm. I like the ability to have indoor activities yeah. in this area, right? We have lots of great concerts that come to this community.
Sure.
If we want to travel outside of the Lehigh Valley, it's close enough to go to Philadelphia, New York, Baltimore. Yep. But there's lots of great outdoor activities here, hiking, biking, kayaking, so all of those things. I think it's just a great community of people.
Yeah.
You find a decent number of people like me who've mm-hmm. been here for a long time and have stayed here. Mm-hmm. So my extended family is here, and that means a lot to me as well.
That's
so being close to my my father and my siblings.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And I hope my kids choose the same.
Yes, exactly. There are over 11 different colleges that they could, you know, choose from over here. And if they don't want to go to college, no problem. There's a lot of work.
That's correct.
And that's one great thing that that we see about this region is that there's always an evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as you were saying, we're looking for data, right? There's a craving for data to better our community.
Right.
And I think LVHN, part of Jefferson Health, has such a great way of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And people in general have been seeing that. And I'm grateful to be part of this community.
Yeah.
As we wrap up, I mm-hmm. want you to give us some closing thoughts. And thank you so much for being here and having this conversation with me. And hopefully this will inspire people to get out, get checked, go to the doctor, you know, and get out and ask those questions.
Right. Well, thank you. I also appreciate the opportunity to be here because, as you can hopefully hear in the answers that I've provided to you, I'm passionate about the work that I do, about the people for whom I have the opportunity to provide care. Yeah. And should this interview inspire future leaders
yes.
at whatever stage they are in their journey, and hopefully inspire women to continue to put their health care first.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Flicker. And thank you for being with us. And thank you to LVHN and Jefferson Health for being with us and for all the work that you do in our community. Thank you.
Please listen to Her Story, celebrating women who lead on air, online, and archived on the WDIY app. This program is generously supported by Lehigh Valley Health Network, part of Jefferson Health.